Good morning. Bless you. Hallelujah. So glad to see you. Glad that you got to come to the house of the Lord and we could worship the Lord together. Amen. And it's something to being people of like faith. Come on, we are people of like faith because God has dealt to every one of us the measure of faith. And so it's just like the Lord. Amen. It's inside of you. It's inside of me. It's a gift from Him to propel us into His perfect will. That's what we want, right? If you would, open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've been teaching out of Colossians, and I'd prepared to do that. But early this morning, as I was in prayer, the Lord kind of changed the direction, and so He wants us to go this way. You know, as your pastor, you're always mindful of what the Lord wants, and then you have the needs of people that pull on your heart as well. But, you know, you preach like we're preaching out of Colossians. That's a series. You know, that's a series, a sermon series. But then you preach topical sermons and you preach textual sermons and all of these things. You preach different types of sermons for different situations. But this morning, this is a warning sermon, a warning sermon. And so we need to really listen to what the Spirit of God would say, because whether anybody wants to realize it, believe it or not, like Brother Corey was singing, the Lord's coming. And He's coming soon. And so He's got a job for us to do. And I love that because He was talking about change in the city. You know, you and I, we were called to this place. And we're called to make a difference. But we can't make a difference if we're thinking about what we want to do all the time. How we feel about things. What matters is what the Lord feels and what He's wanting to do. Amen. Now you don't get mad at me. Just hear by the Spirit of God, and let's let the Word of God just come alive in our lives, and let's be what God called us to be. Amen. All right, this third chapter of 1 Corinthians is talking about how the Corinthian church they had digressed instead of progressing, and they couldn't figure out if they were of Christ or if they were of Paul or if they were of Apollos and all of these things. Come on, say, I'm of Jesus. But I don't have time to get into all that because I got something heavy to get into. So just drop down for sake of time to verse 21. And let's read 21, 22, and 23 for a text. And you'll have to, if you're not familiar with it, but I believe you are because we've taught it and preached it many times. The preceding verses, you'll have to read it in your home study time. Look what he says starting in verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21. Because God knows your heart, knows all of your thoughts. Therefore, let no man, let no person glory in men. Come on, say, I glory in Jesus. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Notice this, underline this in your Bible, highlight it in your Bible app. For all things are yours. You got to know who you serve and who you're born of and what God has gave you through Jesus and who has paid a price for you. Verse 22, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And notice this, and ye are Christ. Say, I'm the Lord's. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Amen and amen. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you, Brother Donnie, for your prayer. Hallelujah. So let's just lay a little foundation here so we can get into a place of like faith. Hold your place right here and we'll come right back to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians. But go with me to the book of Ezekiel chapter 18. And let's see Old Testament, New Testament, what the Bible says about you, what the Bible says about me. And then in Ezekiel chapter 18, look at verse. Let's just Look at verse 4 for sake of time. Look what he says, and we may come back and you can read the rest of this in your home study time. But he says, the prophet says, behold, all souls, he's speaking for the Lord because the Lord had just spoke to him. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. But notice what he says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So you and I, we've got to realize that we are saved because of our faith in the grace of God. And that salvation that we have is because Jesus shed his blood for us, and we've believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth, and we've called upon the name of the Lord. And so we have this great saving grace in our life. But you belong to the Lord. Whether a Christian or not, all souls belong to God. Amen. And God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for that sinner that's outside the church walls, that's outside of the body of Christ this morning. Yes. He had a plan from the foundation of the world for them. But see, they don't know that plan, but you know the plan of God. I know the plan of God. And so we need to be about our Father's business and bring revelation to them that the devil doesn't own them. Come on, the devil, he has a plan and he has an agenda to bring death into their life. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But you and I, we've got to get a message that God made them for a purpose and a destiny. And that's why the devil's trying to pervert their whole life and twist everything astray. Amen? All right. So all souls. So you and I, we belong to the Lord. Let's just drive it home. Go to Romans chapter 14. We'll go back to 1 Corinthians in just a minute. Look at Romans chapter 14, and for sake of time, let's read 7, 8, and 9. Romans 14 and 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth unto himself. You and I, whether we know it or not, we're living with a destiny. And we want to die with that destiny fulfilled. Amen? We've got so many days. The Bible says Moses prayed that prayer, and he told us to pray it in Psalms 90, about 10, 11, and 12. He said, Lord, teach us. Show us how to apply our heart into wisdom, and teach us how to number our days. Amen. That we can know where we're at in our standpoint of our life and where we're at in the point of prophecy and history and all of these things. But he said, none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth unto himself. Verse 8, for whether we live, we live unto the Lord. You and I are alive this morning because God gave us breath. He kept the car on our side and the car on the other side of the road from hitting. Come on, he protected us. He had his hand upon us. When trees are blowing everywhere, he protects us. God is wanting you and I to know that he's our source of life, but we've got to live for him. Amen? He owns us. For whether we live or we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Now, that means God's going to take care of you. It doesn't matter what's happening in this world. I mean, this economy is going crazy. It's going nuts. Look at how inflation is impacting our lifestyle. Look how what's happened this year at the grocery store. Come on. There's a lot of things going on, but you belong to the Lord. I belong to the Lord. And the Lord is our shepherd. Amen. And we shall not want. We're not going to lack. He's going to take care of us. He's our source. And so we got to be in that place where we know who we are, but we know who we serve, and we're serving him and not self. We're serving him and not self. It's time that we wake up. You and I don't have the freedom and the liberty just to choose what we want to do every day. God's got a plan for you every day. There's certain things that we've got to do. We occupy till he comes, but there's other things that we are designated and designed and have an anointing to do for the Lord. Amen? Verse 9, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, hallelujah, that he might be both the Lord, be Lord both of the dead and the living. That's who he is. Jesus is exactly that. And so I'm the Lord, you're the Lord's. One more, let's take it home. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 20. We're just laying a foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Notice this. Paul's talking to the church at Corinth, so he's talking to us. He says, "For ye are bought. You've been redeemed. You've been ransomed out of the devil's hand. You are bought with a price." Come on, Peter tells us you were bought with the precious blood of the Lamb. And, you know, we've said it many times, the blood of Jesus is the most precious thing in the whole universe, because what makes something precious? How rare it is and what its value is. There's nothing more rare than the blood of the Lamb, and there's nothing more valuable, because only the blood of the Lamb could take my sin, take your sin, and wash it away. So you're bought. "For you are bought with a price." What are we supposed to do? "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit," to bring full glory to the Lord in everything that you and I do. We can bring glory to God. Yes, it's easy in our spirit, but we can do it with our body. How else can people in this lost and dying world see Jesus unless they see Him in your life, in my life? Oh, this is so important. Listen, "In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thus saith the Lord, come out. Come out from the shadows. Come out from behind the walls. I am calling you in and forth in among my people. I want the light that I placed in you to shine, and I want you to be a light in a dark world, and I want you to know that I will follow with you, and I will go before you, and I will give you words, words that nobody can deny. I will give you words that will touch hearts and will open up the eyes of the blind and cause them to come to faith in Jesus' name." Amen. That's what the Spirit of God is saying to us this morning. This is what He wants us to do. This is it. If we don't do it now, we will not have another opportunity. "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God, make full honor and glory to the Lord in your body and in your spirit." Why? "Which are God's." God owns us, spirit, soul, and body. But that means He's got to take care of us, spirit, soul, and body. Amen? So that takes the pressure off of you and I, and we need to learn how to rest in the Lord, whether we've got $1,000 or we've got $1. We need to learn how to rest in the Lord, whether the freezer's full or it's empty. We need to learn how to rest in the Lord, whether the mortgage is paid or it's not. Amen? Come on, every one of us, we've got situations and circumstances that the devil wants to make us fear. And, you know, there's a lot of things going on inside this church. But God's the Lord of this church. Amen? He's your source. He's my source. And we've got to hold on to Him with everything we got. All right, so I belong to the Lord, you belong to the Lord. So what do we need to do? We need to be in the place and the position where we let the power of the Lord cause us to see what we need to see. See, right now we're in a place where we're looking, and the devil is so good at using the media. Remember, he is the prince of the power of the air. The media loves to manipulate you and I. And they just play with us. They just, every little thing that happens, you realize that it's orchestrated for a reason. It's to get your attention. It's to get my attention. It's to distract us off of what's really going on. It's like the old game where they had the three cups and the one nut and the bait and the switch, you know, where you pick which cup the nut's under and all. It's a sleight of hand. That's what the devil's working right now. You and I, we've got to keep our eyes on the Lord, and then the sleight of hand will not have an impact on us. Now look what he says. Go with me. We're in chapter 6. Turn over to chapter 15. This is what we're supposed to be looking for. 1 Corinthians 15:51. And remember what Brother Corey, what the Spirit of God laid on his heart to lead us in worship. Me and him have not talked. That's just the Spirit of the Lord. Look at starting in verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15:51. The Apostle Paul says, "By the unction of the Spirit of God, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." We shall not all die. Hallelujah. "We shall not all die, but we shall" what? "All be changed." Oh, glory. Inside of you is a glorified body. It's inside of you. It's a body that's going to live forever. It's a body, if you're born again, you're going to radiate the rays of God in the presence of the Lord and walk through things. The Bible says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, but it can be revealed to us by His Spirit. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. So that's inside of you. This is going back to the dirt. Don't let it steal this moment of time. The flesh will steal from you. The devil will use it to distract you, and you're caught up in all these things, and you think that you're really living life, but you've wasted life. I was thinking about Brother Corey and Brother Josh just went through, Brother Josh just went through training, I think, and Brother Corey's going through training for a new job. And this training period, it's going to determine how they handle everything in the future. See, I've got to realize this life in the flesh, whether it's however long it is, it's just a training ground. You don't have to live for now. It's not about what you wear, what you drink, or what makes you happy now. That has nothing to do with it. This is what we can do. Everything that we do it for under the Lord, and it's a seed for the eternity. Don't you realize the devil wants to get us so caught up in what we wear, what we drive, all of these things. God said, through Jesus, He said, you can't serve God and mammon. Now, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. God wants you to have good things. He wants me to have good things. He wants us to be blessed. But He's got to be above those things. We don't serve those things. We serve Him. When's this change taking place? Look at verse 52. In a moment. The word is where we get our English word Adam. When you split an atom, you have what? You have a nuclear reaction. Well, when this takes place, there's going to be a reaction, all right. We're going to be split. The flesh is going to fall to the ground. Oh, glory. And our spirit body is coming out alive and well, and our soul is going to be in that spirit body. Your soul, that's your conscience. That's who you are. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the farthest one out, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Second time for Ephesus. See, I don't need to be putting everything into this moment of time because it's going by the wayside. Amen? I need to be figuring out what the Lord wants me to do. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, come on, that's what he's talking about, the eternity, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, glory. In other words, if you notice, death is capitalized. Death is not a condition. Death is an entity. Death is a person. Death is the devil. He's going to be swallowed up. Amen? So I've got to realize that the devil works through my flesh and through my soul, my mind, will, and emotions. And so I've got to be in the place where I say, now, wait a minute, I've been bought with a price, and He has given me a command that I could glorify the Lord in my spirit, but also in my body. And so if I am led by the Spirit, the Bible says, that I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I'm led by my spirit, like God created me, then my soul's going to come in alignment. And if my soul's in alignment, if it's being fed from my spirit rather than from my body, then my body won't dominate me. You realize why there's so many sad people? Why there's so many suicidal people? Because they're being dominated by their flesh. And they're not hearing from their spirit. And the devil is clouding their mind. Why do we have so many people that's going from one gender to the next gender? Why are they going from one medication to the next medication, from one house to the next house, from one car to the next car, from one job to the next job? Why? But the devil is toying with them. They're on a roller coaster. They're like the little, what do you call it? Yes. That's all he's doing to them. It's like a yo-yo of life. God's got something better for us. Now notice what he says. Drop down to verse 57. Because you and I are what we're looking for. We're recognizing the change. He says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I've got the victory. You've got the victory. If I'm in that place where I realize that this flesh is going back to dust. And it doesn't have to dominate me. It doesn't have to control me. Amen. So my focus, my vision is that I need to be looking at the signs of the time. And I need to realize that the Lord is coming. And that things are coming to pass hurriedly and quickly. And you and I, we are so close to all sorts of things happening. You know, I don't know. I haven't heard this morning. But did they ever find Putin? I mean, did the plane go down or not? Is that... See, now, this is a significant thing. If Russia changed leadership right now, you can believe what you want to, but God's using Putin. All of this stuff with the Ukraine, this is to bring out the hypocrisy. This is to bring out what the money laundering scheme of our own nation and all of these things. But God is using him. He's an instrument of change. Why do you think that our media is trying to bring deceit and try to lead you and I astray? And listen to your spirit. Don't listen to what the channel, whatever news says. Amen. Listen, look, God wants to talk to you. He wants to show you the truth. There's so much at play right now. Gog and Magog is just waiting to happen. Okay, so let's look at some things. I think it'll bless us. I think it'll help us. Go with me. Let's see some truth here. The book of Jude, turn with me to the book of Jude. Starting in verse 1, it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them which are sanctified. Say, that's me. So he's talking to? To them which are sanctified by God the Father and preserved. Mark that down. Say, I'm preserved in Jesus Christ and I'm called. Hallelujah. And I'm called. Not called to sit in a pew. Now, God's not mad at us. He's wanting to encourage us. He's wanting to set us free to do something. Now, notice what he says. Now, you mark this down, and I want you to pray about this, and I want you to look at this. Jude is written to get us, it's written for us right now. And look what he says. He said, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. If you notice how most epistles, how they start, and they talk about grace, and love, and then mercy. Jude doesn't even mention grace. Why? Because in the last days, don't get mad at me, the church is so wore out grace that now we don't need grace, we need mercy. The United States of America needs mercy. You and I need to be on our knees and we need to be praying instead of watching television, instead of surfing the internet, because I'm telling you, judgment is fixing to fall. Yeah. You can't do what you're doing to our children and confuse them and lead them into all of this nonsense and judgment not fall. Yeah. Mercy. When I pray, I that's what I pray. I say, Lord, I'm trusting in your mercy. But mercy has to be what? It has to be mixed with love. Because love is what will bring us out. Love is your victory. Love is my victory. Love is what brings us to a place of truth and out of deception. Verse 3. Beloved, when I give all diligence, in other words, I'm using all my speed. I know this has got to get to you quickly, to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort. I need to call you near to exhort you that you should what? Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This earnestly contend for the faith, if you look, make a note, we don't have time to go there, but I think it's Luke 13:24, I believe it. The word means that you're going to have to struggle with everything you've got to enter in. Not because God's not willing, because your spirit's not willing, but because of this flesh. This flesh will talk you out of God's best. This flesh will always make an excuse. Well, I could have done this, or I could have been there. But, God's getting a little fed up with but. He's saying, you receive my mercy, and then be about my business. Amen? See, if we've got people that we love and they're deceived, we aren't going to be able to lay our head down at night until we have talked to God about it. And if we do, Lord, help us. Don't get mad at me now. I'm just telling you what the Spirit of God is saying. Jesus, He neither sleeps nor slumbers, and He ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. He's wanting you and I to have a zeal for the lost. Verse 4. Why do we have to earnestly contend? Because of this flesh. Here's what is happening to it. For there are certain men crept in unawares. This word unawares, it means that they have come in a stealth mode, like our stealth bomber, but then they have sat down and they're lodging there. In other words, the devil will send people into your life, into my life, and you don't. Without the Spirit of God, they seem right, they seem good, all of these things, but they don't just come there just for a moment. They lodge in your life. They want to impact the way you see things, the way you understand things. They want to hinder you. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ into what? Lasciviousness. Just an evil longing, desire of the flesh, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. See, there's evil spirits at work right here in our nation. They were at work in Israel and Judah. Now they're at work here. And these are spirits behind these men. You need to see that. I need to see that. The Bible says in 1 John 4:1 that you and I are to try the spirits, whether they be of God or not. But praise God, after you try them, 1 John 4:4 says what? Greater is He that is in you than that spirit that is in the world. You have dominion. You have victory over it. All right, now notice. Verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance that though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards, now notice this, here's salvation, here's judgment. How the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Judgment's coming. He brought out perhaps 2.5-3 million people out of there, and look, Out of those original ones, only Joshua and Caleb, and then the ones who were under the age of accountability, got to cross over into Canaan. The Bible says that Caleb had another spirit in him. You've got another spirit in you. The Holy Ghost, the spirits in this world isn't in you, but it wants to influence you. So we can't rest on being saved. We're going to rest throughout all the eternity in the Lord. We need to be about our Father's business. Even Jesus at 12 years old hadn't been baptized yet and hadn't been baptized in the Spirit as well as in water and all of those things. But at 12 years old, He said, what? Didn't you know, Mom, Dad? Didn't you know I must be about my So I don't care how old you are, how young you are, we need to be used by the Lord. Amen? Now, look what he says. He brings it home in verse 6. He says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation. Now, he's talking about the third of the angels before the catabole in the first earth age, the first heaven age, that followed Satan. They left God. That's how powerful Lucifer, the son of the morning, that's how powerful he was in his deception. So don't think that you can look around the things of this world and get your eyes off of Jesus and not be distracted and not be deceived. Because if he could bring a third of the angels to this place that he's fixing to tell us about, guess what? And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting change under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. And then we could go on, but we don't have time. Drop down to verse 17. Jude 1:17. It says, but beloved, remember the words which were spoken. Come on, this is a theme about stirring us up, keeping us in the place of remembrance. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there should be mockers, there should be false teachers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. That's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing all sorts of things taught. It just happens that they don't open this Bible. You come to our church and you bring your money. We don't care what else you do. Everything will be okay. Everything's not okay if we're in sin. And we can be in grace and we can sin and God can work with us and deal with us. But he's talking about people who have turned to habitually following after sin rather than the Savior. Amen? Verse 19. These be they who separate themselves. They're sensual. They're carnal. They're fleshly. Sensual, having not the Spirit. Aren't you glad that you've got the Spirit? But here's what we do. Verse 20. Since you've got the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. There is nothing more that's more important than you and I praying by being inspired by the Spirit. You've got to do it. If you don't, the faith that God gave you and saved you by, it has to be added to. Peter wrote, he said in 2 Peter chapter 1, he talks about adding to your faith. And faith comes by hearing, right? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, not what you heard. You have to keep hearing. Keep yourself in verse 20. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking, what? Here it is, what he was talking about in verse 2, for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm praying in the Spirit. And as I'm praying in the Spirit, I'm keeping myself in the love of God. Because see, Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in your spirit by the Holy Spirit. So when we're praying in the Spirit, that God is showing us truth and reality. The love of God starts coming up in your spirit and you start loving people that you thought were unlovable. I was trying to work on what I wanted to study last night. And I was sitting there in my recliner and the Spirit of God kept wanting me to lay that down and to pray in the Spirit. And I said, I've got this much time. Donna's not here. Everything's quiet. I want to study this. I want you to pray this. So we lay down what we want because God knows what's best. And so you start praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden that love of God starts being shed abroad in your heart. And then I start making phone calls. because I realized what God was wanting. See, what I think is important, if it don't match Him, it isn't important. See, we can get caught up in doing one thing that would seemingly be good, but if it's out of step or out of time, it's not. Come on, I'm trying to help you. I try to be just as honest with you as I can. In the flesh, we're flawed. But in the spirit, we're being changed. Amen? All right. Now, he said, because of this love and this mercy, verse 22, and of some having compassion, making a difference. Because of this love in your heart, this mercy that's working, you and I can make a difference in people. The devil doesn't want you to think that you can. But I'm here to tell you that your prayers has changed my life at times, and your prayers has changed other people's life at times. Amen? Prayers release compassion. They release the mercy of God. Amen? Verse 23, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So, this is our job. This is our role. See, you'll never do what God wants you to do in public until you do it in private. See, I've got to pray it out in my prayer time, and then I'm going to walk it out in my daily life. See, before I pray for the person out there, I've done prayed for them in my prayer closet. Amen? All right, go to 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, and we're going to close. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Now, there are just 18 verses here in your home study time. Promise me you'll read it. Come on, promise me you'll read it. If not, I'll read all 18 verses while we're standing here. Verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I write now unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. He said, I stir you up. He said, this word means to fully awaken you. The Word of God will awaken us. This word is also used, if you want to look at it in your home study time, in Mark chapter 4. Down about verse 39, where Jesus arose out of the ship when he was asleep. They woke him up and he stood up and he said, peace be still. That's the same word. When he arose. So, Jesus, you got to be awake to speak to storms. Some of you this morning are going through storms. God will awake you up to the truth and you'll know what to speak over that storm. Amen. Verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken, in other words, hold this in your heart, by the holy prophets and by the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and the Savior. Verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Remember what Jude just said? He called them mockers. It's the same word. It's just a false teacher. Anybody that's not teaching the truth of the Word of God, they are a scoffer. They are a mocker. They're mocking God's truth. Amen? He said that in these last days, you're going to see these mockers, these scoffers, and they're going to walk after their own lust. It's pretty easy to tell if somebody really loves you or not. If they love you, they'll go the extra mile. Because what did Jesus say? He said, I don't compel you to go 1 mile, but I compel you to go 2. That takes love. Verse 4. Here's what the scoffers are going to be saying. Where is the promise of his coming? That's where we're at right now. We just keep poking our finger as a nation in God's eye. Do something, God. We've done aborted 60 million babies. Do something. What are you going to do? Tell you what he's going to do. God's not like us. He's not like a man that he should change his mind. He cannot be provoked. He doesn't sin. God has laid everything out in his word. And it's going to come to pass just exactly. The devil can't move our God. Jesus is the immovable rock and your life is on Him, so you can't be moved. Amen? Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And so then Peter goes on to tell us about the catabole, about the first flood. Don't get lost and hung up on Noah's flood. You need to go back and see what he's really saying, but I don't have time to look at it. So drop down to verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, to the church. Come on, this is an epistle. It's written to you and I, to the church. He's long-suffering to usward because I've got family. You've got family. We've got friends that are lost and undone. They're tied up in sin. And so God's waiting. He's waiting on us to pray them in. He's waiting on us to be used by Him. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Well, how do they come to repentance? Romans 10 says they can't come to repentance unless there's a preacher. The preacher's not the guy behind the pulpit. The preacher's you. The preacher's the body of Christ. We are all preachers of righteousness. Noah preached for 120 years, if we want to talk about Noah. But he preached, and he's called a preacher of righteousness. See, we don't know what's going to happen in the millennium, so we need to sow seeds and be ready for that opportunity at that time when that time comes. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Wow. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah, where they were and what they were doing. When the sulfur and the hailstones, all that started falling. Can you imagine? One moment, everything's fine. Done everything I've always done. See, there's a time you can be saved and there's a time. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. And the elements shall melt, rudiments, the evil things of this world. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Everything that you and I are working for if we're not careful. Come on, your favorite suit of clothes. Your favorite chair. I want to put everything into that. It's going to be dissolved. Now, I'm not talking about it's nice to have good things. Don't get me wrong. Don't take my words and twist them. But the Spirit of God is wanting us to see that everything that we do can be for the eternity and for here rather than just for here. Amen? Shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation, in all manner of life, all behavior? Jesus said that you and I are to be holy as God is holy. Matthew chapter 5. He said that you ought to be in all holy conversation. Verse 12, here's what we're supposed to be doing. Looking for and hastening unto the coming. Your desire, my desire ought to be for the coming of the Lord. Now, I'll just be honest with you. I remember, and this is so embarrassing, but it's the truth. When Don and I first got saved and started going to church, that's the first I'd heard that, I didn't know anything, just green as a gourd. I just knew I was saved. She knew she was saved. But I didn't know anything about the sounding of the trumpet and the Lord coming back and all these things. So we started hearing that preached and stuff. And Dawn and I, we'd finished a job, and there were some things we'd been wanting, and we had ordered them. And this sounds so crazy today, but I'm just telling you so you can laugh with me and you can make sure that you don't make the same mistakes. I remember looking over her, and I said, gosh, I hope the trumpet don't sound before we get this in. I really want to have this. Childlike innocence, but I meant it. Because I thought if I didn't get to play with it then, isn't that silly? But, well, I can't go to church because I can't do this because. See, I didn't want to go be with Jesus because. Looking for and hastening to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements, these evil rudiments, shall melt with fervent heat. So everything in this world is going to burn up that's not of God. See, Revelation 19 tells you and I that our white robe, of course, it's dipped in the blood of Jesus, but the way that that robe is manufactured, if you'll read it for yourself, starting about verse 7 and 8, it's your equitable deeds, your righteous acts is what builds that robe. And so you and I, we have an opportunity in this life to build some things that we can take to heaven with us. Everybody says you're not taking anything to heaven with you, but there are some things that you can take to heaven with you. You can take a lost soul because you give them the gospel. Amen. All right. Let's close with verse 17 and 18. And maybe we can leave here on a high note and everybody won't be mad at me. Look at the power of the Word of God. 2 Peter 3:17. Ye therefore, those who are in the church, who this epistle, all the epistles of God are written to, ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, in other words, you and I know the Lord's coming. We know that everything in this earth is going to burn up. We know that the world and its works is going to be dissolved. He said, seeing that you know these things, he said, beware. That word beware, it means to guard with everything you've got. Amen. To guard. Lest ye also being led away. Now he's talking to the closest to the Lord. He's talking, this is an epistle written to the church. So he's talking to the church. Lest you be led away. This word led away, planeo, it means to be seduced. If think about it. If the serpent could seduce Eve and Adam right there in the presence of walking with God in the cool of the day, what can the enemy do to this flesh? Lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked. Here's the key. This is why you and I, we can stand strong. Because this word wicked is not evil. This word wicked is lawless. In other words, this word wicked means they don't have this word. Jesus is the word. Come on, you've got the word this morning. The Bible says that Jesus said, when I go away, I'm going to send another comforter, one just like me, and he's going to teach you new things, but he's going to bring you remembrance, everything I've said. The word. So you got to stand on that. When the devil tells you you don't know what to do or he tries to bring confusion, put the word. The word is light. Put the word on it and all truth will come. Lest you being led astray with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness to drop away. I'll just throw this in. I don't have time to look at it, but you look at it. Revelation 6 talks about untimely figs harvested out of season. Are you listening for the right trumpet? Verse 18, in closing. Because you and I know who we're serving, he said, but grow in grace. See, if you're in grace, you don't have to have mercy. Because grace is that place that what Jesus done on the cross, what Jesus done when he went to the tomb, what Jesus done when he ascended on high, that grace is in the place and the position of making you a child of God, making you an overcomer. You can grow in that. In other words, I'm saved by grace, But I need to learn how to live by grace. That means I can witness by grace. I can testify by grace. I can give by grace. I can receive by grace. I'll just be honest with you. Some of you need to learn how to receive by grace. It's a sign of pride. If we don't, God don't like it. But growing grace, and what happens if you're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. How is Jesus glorified? Remember, in you. Remember 1 Corinthians 6:20? You're bought with a price. Now you can glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Both. See, when you go through things and your faith is in Jesus, when you go through things and the grace sustains you, when you go through things and you're able to walk in love and to let the peace just come in and out of your life, that brings God glory. Amen. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I am free because I have gave what you gave me. I have no weight on my shoulders, but I have an anticipation in my heart. I have an expectancy for my own life, and I have an expectancy for this great group of people because I know that with all their heart, they love you. And I know that they're willing to yield to you and they're willing to serve you. And so I know that you are coming and we're looking and we're hastening, earnestly desiring for the coming of the Lord. But in the meantime, we're going to be about our Master's business. We're going to see change in the city. We're going to see change in people's lives. We decree that and declare that you will use us as children of change to bring change in other people. We thank you that by your grace, that our lives, spirit, soul, and body, will bring you glory. It will reach down and give compassion to people who's fixing to step into the fire, into judgment, and it'll save them. It'll pull them out. Lord, let it be. Don't let anything I've said bring confusion. Just by your spirit, you correct anything I might have misspoke, or you clarify in somebody's heart what they need to hear this morning, and let them be drawn to you. We ask you for it in the name of Jesus. Would you come this morning and say, Lord, I just want to bow down before you and I want to let you show me some change in my life. I want you to show me anything that I may be trusting in or anything that I might be putting between me and you and your perfect will. Would you just listen to the Lord and let Him help you this morning? This can be a great day. A day of getting victory like you've never had before, a way of walking in freedom that has been bought and paid for, that is yours, that is mine today. Would you come and let us just pray to the Lord? Let us just worship Him. Let us just thank Him for all of His provision.